Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to The Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. We're very happy to have with us one of the top advertising and public relations people in West New York, Mike Bolani, who suggested this program. And our guest today is Michael J. Norwood, Sr., and he's a trustee and consultant for the St. John Baptist Church and spokesman and advisor for the Buffalo Black Billion. Unfortunately, Pastor Chapman, Michael Chapman, was supposed to be with us, but he's out ill today and he couldn't be with us, but we offer him our most sincere prayers. To tell you a little bit more about Michael Norwood Sr., he's worked in the city for over 30 years in a variety of roles under three different mayors, Griffin, Masiello, and Brown, who all have been guests on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. Let's talk about this Buffalo Black Billion. It's an ambitious project, but that is not related in any way to the $1 billion for the capping of the road. Is that right?
That's correct. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us about the Buffalo Black Billion.
Buffalo Black Billion is a urban national model, faith-based, God-driven, that's bringing $1 billion of economic development, ministry, and programs into the Fruit Belt in East Buffalo community. We have close to $400 million in assets on the ground, we have 77 townhomes at a cost of $22.3 million afforded to us by the New York State Housing and Community Renewal. We have a former hospice facility that is now Recovery Opportunities Made Equal, I believe it is, Rome, and it's a mental health facility. We have a number of initiatives that we're working on right now, and we're very happy to be here today. We are working with developing a 6 to 8 story housing development network in our Macaulay Gardens. We just spent $57 million in renovation with phase one, renovating 150 units. We also have our St. John Towers that we've spent $30 million in renovating that, 150 units. And so with our projects that are forthcoming, we're going to spend another $600 million for 1,500 new affordable housing units throughout East Buffalo and the Fruit Belt. That's where we're presently at.
You know, there's been a lot of criticism about the capping of the 33, and it sounds like money would be better spent on this Buffalo Black Billion to provide housing and jobs than putting a roof over a highway you can't even see. Doesn't that make more sense to you?
Absolutely. The need for affordable housing in East Buffalo has been supported by our elected officials from Governor Kathy Hochul to our Erie County and City Buffalo representatives. We believe that this commitment to invest $600 million in the Fruit Belt for affordable housing is extremely necessary. And as you mentioned, the 33, certainly housing is a priority. Buffalo has been touted as one of the third poorest cities in America, and affordable housing is at the top at this particular point in our society.
Also, a lot of people have said it would make more sense to put a roof on the Buffalo Bills stadium than to put a roof on a highway you can't even see because it's 60 feet down. A lot of people have suggested it would be a wiser investment to provide free college education for every inner city black student to go to college than putting a roof on a highway you can't see.
There are a lot of issues with the 33, with the dust and all of the emissions that would be emitted to those residents that reside in that corridor. But it's going to happen, and we'll just have to live with that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I think Crystal Peoples is a wonderful woman, but your program sounds much more viable for the African-American community.
We need affordable housing. We have a number of initiatives that are connected to that. We have a 65-unit affordable housing piece that we're going to do that's going to come up on High Street. We have projects that are connected. We have two churches, two campuses in one village, St. John and Gethsemane Baptist Church. And St. Gethsemane is the oldest structure, the oldest landmark in the Fruit Belt, built in 1874. And so with these two churches, the Buffalo Black Billion has almost 70% of the vacant property in the Fruit Belt. And so we're trying to improve the quality of life for those residents that reside there. Additionally, St. John Baptist Church is the only major African-American institution involved at this time with initiatives and the fiscal resources, intellectual wealth, and proven capacity to complete multi-million dollar projects without corruption.
Well, it's wonderful. We admire you for what you're doing. Michael, would you like to chime in on this?
Yeah, I am extremely, you know, Brian, a pleasure to be back with you. I've been involved with my Bellani Associates communication company with Pastor Chapman and St. John Baptist, Gethsemane Missionary Baptist Church, and the Buffalo Black Billion for nearly 2 years. It really began almost a week after the horrific 514 situation at the Tops Market on Jefferson Avenue. And that's when I reacquainted myself with both Pastor Chapman, whom I knew back when I was with the Buffalo Bisons. He was always been involved with St. John Baptist, but back then he was running the YMCA on Humboldt. And we were putting together at the Bisons a inner-city youth baseball program, and he was a key part of that. So youth and him have always been a big factor. Mr. Norwood I knew from a variety of tasks that he did in City Hall. But what impresses me most about Pastor Chapman, a couple things. Number one, he's been married to his bride minister, Ina, for 49 years, and one of the points of his spirituality that he's most proud of is having three master's degrees in theology from Christ the King Seminary, which, as you know, is a Catholic seminary that was in East Aurora, since closed. And one of their professors, a good friend of mine, Father Charles Amico, and when I asked him about Pastor Chapman, he said, easily one of the most brilliant students he's ever had. So he's not only a very, very intelligent in the word of God and as a preacher, but he became a developer. And I think, Brian, what impresses me most about the St. John Baptist campus that is located at Goodell and Michigan is that it's 97 years that it's been in existence, and Pastor Chapman's only the third pastor.
Wonderful. It's good work. You're providing economic empowerment for the African-American community to revitalize that area. My father was a physician. He made house calls, two or three a night in the 50s and 60s in that area. And I was hoping they would have put the Buffalo Bills Stadium right there at the Central Terminal, which would have provided hotels, jobs, restaurants. That's where they should have done it.
I don't know if the stadium should have gone there. I was an advocate of not renovating the Exchange Street station, but eliminating Exchange Street, eliminating Depew Amtrak station, and putting all those resources under former Governor Andy Cuomo into the Central Terminal. They talked about the reason they renovated Exchange is that people get off and walk to the, take the trolley on Main Street. Well, I sat out there for a week before the public hearing. Only two people did it. Most had Ubers, cabs, family. But if you went over there to Central Terminal, then NFTA could have sold their building on Ellicott, moved the buses and their executive offices there, then clean up east to west on Sycamore, Genesee, Broadway, clean those streets up, and drive people back. Use those as main thoroughfares like it was in the 50s and 60s.
Absolutely.
And Michael, talk about your feeling about Jefferson Avenue and what the pastor wanted to do.
That's where they needed the money. You're talking about a Buffalo billion today. You would have had a billion coming with the Buffalo Bills Stadium on the east side of Buffalo. You're exactly right, Michael.
Well, we envision the Buffalo Black Billion, the overseer, Pastor Michael Chapman, and its leadership envisions Jefferson the way it used to be, a business corridor. If you've ever been to Toronto, you've seen the hustle and bustle
Absolutely.
That goes on there. Why can't we have entrepreneurs there? Why can't we have, the Tops Market is fine, but we need economic development. We need job opportunities. Even the infrastructure is old. We need pipes under the ground there, and we'd like to see businesses and entrepreneurship, museums, cafes, boutiques, a police
Absolutely.
Presence with satellites and that sort of thing, and minorities having a major part in all of this. Right now, they're talking streetscapes. That's fine. They're talking lighting. They're talking about stretching the sidewalks out. But what does that have to do with community engagement? We'd like to see people more involved and having a place to brag about. If you come into this city, I need to be able to take you over to Jefferson and say, hey, come over here. I want to show you something. I want to show you what we're proud of, what's going on. That's not there. And so you have Tops, and that's a great thing. But look at the blight that's there. Where's the businesses? Where's the cafes? Where is that? And so we feel, and this is personal, I'd like to see, I think April Baskin just got $3 million, and that's a start. It's important to have a start to have an ending, but it's not a billion.
No.
We want to see minorities more uniquely involved with seeing that place developed, and Buffalo Black Billion could do that from Cherry to Ferry Street. We have letters into the city to be a developer there, and we're waiting to hear.
That have not been returned. That have not been responded.
That have not been returned.
And how long have you been waiting for a response?
Oh, it's about, what is it, about a year?
Yeah, but it goes worse.
But no letter of response that it was received?
Nothing.
They're
not
studying
even a phone call.
Nothing.
Well, maybe you're too much of an advocate for economic development, and they just want to have these welfare
programs. Brian, what Michael's talking about, if you remember back, and Michael's probably too young to remember, 1966 and before that, Jefferson Avenue was a thriving metropolis.
Yeah. When I was a kid. Yeah.
My barber, he has since retired, got sick, and he hasn't, but he's going to get back in the chair and give me a haircut one of these days, is Jerry Daniel Sr. of the Carl Jeff Barbershop. He's 91 years young, and he's got the distinction of being the oldest running business on Jefferson and the oldest running businessman. And 1967, you could read about it in my book that I recently published, The Seasons of Buffalo Baseball, available on Amazon or at the Bison Bookstore. But in that book, the Bison's 1967 season at War Memorial Stadium, the title was a Stormy Season. That was a year when Buffalo was one of 34 cities in the country in the long, hot summer of 67 when the race riots went up from William up Jefferson and just firebombed all these storefronts. Terrible. That Michael was talking about. They moved out.
Yeah.
And they haven't come back since.
We need to see, we need to have more economic development options in the east side of Buffalo and throughout. You know, there's been some development, but we need to have much more. You see the downtown areas are getting attention, and we are getting some attention, but it's not enough. We need more community involvement, more community engagement, and we need to see it happening. That Jefferson Corridor, our president, the president of the United States, stepped down on Jefferson when we had that massacre at 514. The governor stepped down on Jefferson. We had the vice president to step down. So hundreds of millions of dollars have come into our city, and there's money going into the corridor. We just need to see more economic development, more programming, more job opportunities. We need to build that up so that people, minorities and blacks, can be proud of it. And I'm talking about not just a Tops Market, but we need to see businesses, black businesses, thriving, cafes, young people having a say in that. You know, we lose a lot of our people. They say, well, there's no opportunities here. Sure there are, but we need to create more of them, and that corridor is an excellent example of what we can do. We have issues, and there are things. You mentioned the train station over there.
Yeah.
Definitely, if they had revitalized that would have helped build up that whole area. But there's still time. You know, I mean, we have beers now waiting on you know, the opportunity to get. So our young people are key. We need to nurture them and work with them and put them in position and help them bring this thing to fruition. Because,
well, we need more partnerships. And when I was a legislator, I did work with Crystal People Stokes very closely. I was pushing for economic development for Polish Americans, and she was pushing for economic development for the African Americans, and we need it. But, you know, it's wonderful the Buffalo Bills would be in Orchard Park, but what area needed the economic development? The East Buffalo area. I agree with you completely.
Michael, talk about what the Buffalo Black Billion and your co-developer from New York just recently did with the Town Garden Plaza on William and Jefferson.
The Town Garden Plaza now, it's two phases. There is the retail space, and they've acquired that along with our Buffalo Black Billion. And that's a part of this whole pipeline to do to spend $600 million, 1,500 new affordable housing units. We're waiting. I think Fannie Mae is involved with that. We're waiting on word with regard to the housing component. But that's all a part of our plan to redevelop East Buffalo. And so we're very hopeful that this will happen. It will create job opportunities and small business, entrepreneurship. Jobs is what this is all about, creating jobs.
And the Town Garden Plaza was built almost 60 years ago, right when the riots began. And now the plan's not to, you know, give any secrets out, but the plan is to redevelop that area and bring back a grocery store that once was possibly a gas station.
Retail.
And other retail operations.
Absolutely.
Well, it's wonderful what you're doing. For those who just tuned in, our guest today is Michael J. Norwood, Sr., business consultant, trustee, spokesperson for the Buffalo Black Billion, a man with great passion. Also, we have with us premier advertising and public relations executive Mike Bellani with Bellani Associates. If you're listening in East Buffalo, Toronto, or Manhattan, drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. A little plug here, Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Legal newspaper has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Legal. The Ampol Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. And we've had programs in the past with the Criterion newspaper and the Merriweather family, who, like you, do so much for East Buffalo and the African American community, and I salute your efforts to revitalize this area. My father had his medical practice at 1204 Broadway, across from Burnham's, right in that area, and he did house calls there. So we want to help you. We want jobs. We want economic development. We not want education for our African American youth. Let's talk a little bit more about these development projects. Maybe you could also talk about what type of jobs would be created with construction and renovation of these projects with the Buffalo Black Billion. Michael Norwood, Sr.
We've asked in our projects, we just had a forum recently at the Frankie Merriweather Library regarding the $600 million a network of projects that we're going to do. And we asked minority contractors to bring out, to get their OSHA certifications together, to get their insurance profiles together, and to submit them to our corporate office. There will be line items. You mentioned jobs, roofing, windows, doors, masonry, all sorts of things attached to these projects. We have a $2 million project coming up at Gethsemane Missionary Baptist Church to renovate that whole area and to do a swimming, brand new swimming pool, gardening, and urban gardening. There's going to be a gym there. There's going to be a host of things that are taking place. And so it's incumbent upon our minority contractors to submit their information and so that it can be ready and they'll be ready to take advantage of these opportunities. Additionally, we want our youth. We have a youth component. We're working very closely with Cornell Cooperative Extension. We've been working with them with this gardening over the last several years. We're working with the Board of Education to give us 60 young people. Out of a classroom setting, we feel that some students work better out of a classroom, city as a school. This particular initiative will be project-based learning. And so these are just some of the opportunities that will take place.
Michael, would you like to comment on the vision of these projects?
Well, I think it's absolutely amazing what they have done. They just completed, if you're going off the 33 and you're now heading west toward Main Street, you'll come up to, you're now on Goodell, and you'll be at Michigan. Right to your immediate right is the St. John Baptist Church. Behind that is the large tower. The Family Life Center, the Reverend Dr.
Bennett W. Smith
Family Life Center. He was the previous pastor. And then the McCarley Gardens is Reverend Bernie McCarley was the original pastor. Those affordable living apartments went through $52 million of state-funded, county-funded renovations. Now, between that and Ellicott, there's a piece of land that's owned by the church. That's where the McCarley Garden Phase 2 is going to go. And, Michael, can you give an update of where that is and the issues you've had with the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus?
Well, please. Phase two, phase one was to develop, as I mentioned earlier, to do a $57 million renovation. That was completed just recently. And phase two is to do a six-story, 220 affordable housing, workforce affordable housing units, and that's on our property of the McCarley Gardens. The Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus has had a problem in the past and subsequently has launched three lawsuits to stop our progression with this. And so we're waiting on a decision as we speak that we hope will be favorable for us to move along. As I mentioned earlier, affordable housing is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And so we feel that by having this 6 to 8 story, 220 unit workforce development, will it help improve the area? There'll be jobs there. There'll be 100 parking spots that'll be up under the ground there for parking. There'll be workforce development. We had a retail space, 20,000 square feet for minority and women-owned businesses and others that would be attached to that. And so we have invited and tried to work very closely with the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus and met recently, and we're at a stalemate at this time. We're waiting on the judge's decision. We've had two previous renderings where the planning board, the Buffalo City of Buffalo Planning Board, has given us negative delegation to continue on. They're saying that we need to do this. And for some reason, there's been some resistance. But we're looking forward to this project. This 220 units, in addition to the 1,500 new units, will give us close to 2,000 affordable housing units in East Buffalo. We are an economic engine for East Buffalo and the Fruit Belt community. And so we're looking forward to moving forward with these projects. We're at the forefront. As everyone is talking about affordable housing now, we're at the forefront of this. And we have support. We need more support. And we hope that this will move in the right
direction. We're learning a great deal from Michael Norwood Sr., consultant and trustee, spokesperson for the Buffalo Black Billion. Also, special thanks to Mike Bellani, top advertising public relations executive in Buffalo, for promoting these programs. Special thanks to those who've called regarding our past guests, authors Mario Danielli and Wendy Steele, and author Allison Pataki. Also, coming up in the future, Ambassador Eric Javits, Mark Lauder with America First, and Pastor Evan Stone from Haiti. Thank you for enlightening us about your vision for East Buffalo, Michael Norwood Sr. and Michael Bellani. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the past 15 years. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226. Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.